This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. Democratic State Senator Kathleen Vinehout was first elected to the Wisconsin legislature in the fall of 2006. She's a farmer on her family's farm near Alma. Before ultimately deciding to seek a third four-year term in the state Senate, she briefly considered running for governor against Republican Scott Walker. Also on the ballot in Wisconsin's 31st State Senate District is Republican challenger Mel Pittman of Plum City. He too is a dairy farmer and has experience in government as a former member of the Pierce County Board of Supervisors. Western Wisconsin's 31st State Senate District includes voters in all of Buffalo and Pepin counties, plus most of Trempealeau and Pierce counties, and parts of Dunn, Eau Claire, and Jackson counties. Some of the communities include Alma, Whitehall, Galesville, Arcadia, Mondovi, and Black River Falls. Vinehout and Pittman participated in a broadcast forum recorded earlier this week in Wisconsin Public Radio's Eau Claire studios. It includes audience questions, but please note, because this was recorded earlier this week, no new calls can be accepted. The forum's moderator is WPR reporter Rich Kramer.
So Mel Pittman, why you for State Senate 31?
Rich, I have an interest in running for state Senate. It's something that I've gotten involved in politics along the way over the last 15 years of my life as a dairy farmer, and I've served in different capacities along the way. And so I do have an interest in serving at this level. I was encouraged by others to seek out this opportunity to serve, and I believe I can do a better job representing the values of the residents within the 31st Senate District.
All right. State Senator Kathleen Vinehout, why another 4 years for you?
I spent a great deal of time listening to the people in Western Wisconsin and taking their message to Madison. It's been a very difficult 4 years for many of the people in Western Wisconsin. Not only has the economy taken a bite out of their pocketbook, but they've had to deal with a lot of problems, whether it be poor funding for rural schools or sand mines popping up in their neighborhood. And I have been that voice in Madison. I've proposed two alternative budgets. I spent a great deal of time trying to understand what's happening in Madison and relay that to the people in Western Wisconsin through a weekly column that I write. And there's a lot more work that needs to be done. We're very close to convincing the necessary number of people that we need to change the school funding formula. We're also very close to getting some changes in at least the staffing at DNR for regulating the sand mines. There's a lot more work that needs to be done.
And with that first question, it's not necessarily directly tied to the district, but it's an issue statewide. Governor Walker has said that he'd like to begin drug testing recipients of unemployment insurance and the state's food stamp program, also known as food share. Mel Pittman, I'll start with you. Do you support this idea, and do you think it'll save any money for the state?
I do support that idea or that concept, because I think that if people need to be on taxpayer-funded programs like that, they need to be doing what they can to hold up their end of the situation in regards to receiving these benefits. If they are using drugs unnecessarily or otherwise, you know, where are they getting the resources to do that and so on and so forth? The programs from the government or from the state here in this case should be intended for health, nutrition, things like that, not for other purposes of pleasure or others like that.
To subsidize a life
you
like
bet.
That. Gotcha. Senator Vinehout, your thoughts on Governor Walker's ideas for drug testing food stamp recipients?
This is nothing more than an election year soundbite. The governor justifies this by getting ready for a job. Well, I'm thinking maybe we should drug test the CEOs, and let's start with the governor. He may be getting ready for a new job.
Do you think it could save money for the state?
Oh, absolutely not. It's ridiculous. Absolutely not. Think about DNA testing. Think about the millions that it costs to DNA test every single person that's been arrested. We have to weigh what the cost is versus what the benefits are. This is nothing more than election year politics.
You're listening to the 31st State Senate District Candidate Forum on Wisconsin Public Radio. They are Mel Pittman. He's a Republican from Plum City, running for the 31st State Senate District seat. Kathleen Vinehout is the Democratic incumbent. She's held the seat since 2006. She is from Alma. Another big issue in the news recently has been voter ID. Federal Appeals Court has struck down a lawsuit blocking the state's law, requiring voters to show a government-approved photo identification in order to vote, clearing the way for the law to be in effect for this fall's general election. Some are calling this law common sense. They've been fighting for it for a while now, since 2011, I believe. Others call it disenfranchisement. Where do you stand, Senator Vinehout?
I voted against this very restrictive bill. The bill was modeled after Georgia and Indiana. Georgia and Indiana have some of the lowest voter participation rates in the entire country. Historically, Wisconsin has had very, very high voter participation, not quite as high as Minnesota, but close. What this bill does is make it more difficult for certain groups of people to be able to vote. And since there's been a confusion about whether or not this bill has been in place, I have fielded dozens and dozens of calls from people, from students to the disabled to the homebound elderly, who are saying, what do I have to do? All of a sudden, people are worried about going to the polls. I had one fella tell me he hadn't voted in 3 years because he was so worried that he didn't have the proper documentation. And that was before this bill became before the court order was to put this provision in place. I don't think this is a good idea, and the folks that I've talked to who tell me that their vote doesn't make a difference, I keep telling them, well, if it doesn't make a difference, why are they trying to take your vote away? We need to open wide the doors of voting and increase voter participation, not decrease it.
The Republicans obviously have control currently of both houses, the legislature, the Assembly, and the Senate. If it were to flip, would you and your Democratic colleagues push to repeal the law?
Absolutely. There are many different photo ID laws that are much less restrictive than the current photo ID law. So when the Republicans put this bill in place, they weren't just looking at identification. They were looking at such strict identification that it would make it difficult for certain types of populations to vote. And I would add, all of the changes around absentee voting has made it difficult. And I don't think that it's just Democrats that are going to stay home on Election Day because they have a difficult time figuring out the rules. I've talked to a great deal of rural people that are independent voters or lean Republican, and they said this is a bill that hurts busy people. It hurts people who don't have the time to figure out the details, which could be anyone from any economic strata or any partisanship.
I don't mean to keep following up, but it sounded to me like you might not be against the idea, the concept of voter ID.
Well, all I'm saying is that this is a bill that was drafted to be particularly restrictive.
Okay.
If there is some type of middle ground, and I can work that out with my colleagues, there may be a bill that I would support, but not this one. This one is drafted to be very restrictive, and I'm afraid it's going to succeed in pushing down the number of people that come to the polls.
Mel Pittman, your thoughts on the state's voter ID law passed in 2011. Finally, the courts have struck down a lawsuit that's been blocking it since then. I guess we did have experience with this lobbying effect for a lower turnout primary, but this is going to be the first real test. What are your thoughts?
Rich, I think it's important that we do have something in place like the voter ID bill to help screen people that are coming in to vote. I'm not opposed to people legitimately coming in and voting. It's just an issue of let's make sure that the people that are citizens in this country, whatever, that have the proper residency, that they can actually get out and vote. We use proof of residence. We use photo IDs for almost everything else we do, even for our food stamp program, things like that. They need to share, or they need to show proof of their residency and who they are in order to qualify for benefits. So I think the impact will be very minimal. What it's going to do to restrict anyone that might not qualify to vote. But on the other part, like I said, almost everything else we do, you want to fly in an airplane, jet to go somewhere, you need to show an ID and your residence. So I really question how much damage it's going to do. And some of the judges that have heard these cases have openly admitted that there is voter fraud going on. But they just say, well, it's not that much. Well, when you get in a tight election, a little bit of voter fraud can make a difference, and I think those are important issues to also be considered.
If I could follow up, a couple things. First, this law, the court has decided to lift the injunction, which means this law will be in effect in an election that when the decision was made, it was, I think it was like 2 months or less from the election. Do you think that's too soon to get the clerks up to speed and or all the poll workers to be retrained?
It's going to be a lot of work in a short time for these people to get up to speed. And I've heard from some town clerks and whatnot that have said, you know, they're concerned because of such a short notice. But, you know, this thing has been in and out of courts all for ever since it was passed. And I don't know, you know, if there's ever an ideal time other than, you know, from the time it was originally passed that was going to be in place. And so I guess it's when in front of us right now today we deal with it as best we can, and we make it work.
And the other follow-up I'd like to throw in there, you know, I've heard that argument all the time that you need an ID to do all these other things. Well, those are things that you elect to do, and people, a lot of people, you know, voting is a right. So is this by definition, would be restricting a right, wouldn't it be?
Not necessarily. There's still enough other things that you can use. You need your vote, you know, your photo ID for. Mm-hmm. I believe that it's not unduly restrictive at all. And voting is a right and a privilege. We want to do it right. We want to do it correctly as possible. We don't want to have shenanigans going on that would alter the results of the voting.
You're listening to an Election Forum on Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio. Today, candidates in Wisconsin's 31st State Senate District, incumbent Kathleen Vinehout, a Democrat from Alma, and Republican challenger Mel Pittman of Plum City. The forum was recorded earlier this week at WPR's Eau Claire Studios. The moderator is WPR's Rich Kramer.
The state's frac sand mining industry has grown to be the largest producer in the country of the silica sand used for hydraulic fracturing in other parts of the country. During the past few years, there have been bitter struggles in towns over what the role of local governments are in regulating these industrial sand mines. In the last year or so, Republicans have introduced two bills aimed at limiting that local control in order to, they say, level the playing field for the industry. What is this proper role of state government in regulating frac sand mining? Mel Pittman.
Rich, I believe in local control first for frac sand mining issue. And with that said, you know, I've listened, I went down, I talked to people in the Whitehall area in particular because that's where a lot of it's happening in Trumbull County. And what I found out is that the county and the local towns, I may have put a moratorium in place, I've turned some down. And then all of a sudden, the cities are annexing properties that are way outside their normal jurisdiction and are moving, allowing the sand mining industry to move forward. So I'm concerned about the cooperation between local units of government and how that's occurring and why that's occurring. As far as the state getting involved, I believe that the state should be involved from the DNR aspect of it as far as are they meeting the regulations and whatnot that the DNR has to provide oversight on. I'm not sure that we want the state government to come in and say this is how it's got to be done. I think the local people are the ones that have to live within those communities. They have to live with how things are moving forward through the processing, the mining issues, all those things. I think they should have a say-so on what they want within their communities.
With regard to the annexations, it seems like these companies are convincing local governments like cities and villages to annex their properties so that they can kind of get around some of the local, the county regulations, which are fairly strict on paper. Do you think that Trumbull County is being too strict?
I'm not sure it is. I know that they put moratoriums in place because a number of these counties, and Buffalo is another one, they've gotten overwhelmed with the amount of sand mining coming into that community, and they're not sure how to deal with it in an effective way. The other part of it is with sand mining, you know, because it came so hard and fast, we want to make sure we have the right protocols and regulations in place so that as the mining industry continues and then at some day it's going to exit our areas, that we have all the procedures in place so that whether it's reclamation and how we deal with those issues, so that things can be put back in as best a condition as possible after the industry is closed.
Senator Vinehout, what do you think it's a big question. What do you think the proper role of the state is in how industrial sand mines are regulated?
Well, I like the approach that Minnesota has taken. They recently passed a law that provided assistance to local governments and clarified what the options were for the local governments and made it clear that local government had the authority to site, but that they also could decide how that mine was going to operate. And here are some ideas to consider when you're writing your ordinance. It wasn't a mandate. It was permissive. It was here are some ideas, and we can provide technical assistance. And I like that approach. My opponent in the last several months has made it appear as if he agrees with me on my approach to sand mining. But I have to tell you, on my way to Eau Claire this morning, I drove by a mine that's about 8 miles away from me. And the first and only yard sign I saw in front of that mine was his. And I think that he's done a fair job of obfuscating what's really going on. And I know that the industry very, very much wants state preemption. And they have worked very, very hard to try and convince the people in Madison. And there are a lot of my colleagues here in Western Wisconsin on the other side of the aisle that have taken the time to say to their local people that they don't want the state preemption. But then when it comes to those votes down in Madison, I don't see them out there testifying at the hearings against these bills. I don't see them making public statements against those bills. And there are a lot of people in the last several months that have said to me, what if this bill is in the budget? Will the Republicans vote against it? Will they vote against the budget if this bill is in the budget? Which is it's a fear. And I would say 80% of the people in Western Wisconsin in my neighborhood are opposed to what's happening, especially the getting out from under the county ordinances by annexation in these towns with what I call a balloon on a string annexation, which is something that I believe absolutely should be prohibited. And I wrote a bill to do that, and will be working as soon as this election is over. God willing, the people send me back to keep working. I will be working on getting this bill passed in a bipartisan approach. But there has to be very, very strong leadership from Western Wisconsin, or cities and counties will lose their ability to stop these mines or to put brakes on the practices that sometimes are okay and sometimes are very difficult for neighbors to live near.
And as far as you know, the state preemption, you've written a number of bills. I think it's 5 at least so far.
And another bill that would give DNR the money to hire the number of inspectors that DNR said that they need, which is 12. And they currently have 2. And from what I've heard, those 2 positions are not, they're not up to speed in terms of being filled in full time.
So the bills that you've introduced, those, I mean, isn't that another example of the state kind of reaching in and trying to do the locals' business?
Well, think about what the bills do. What the bills do is protect people so that local government cannot put a mine in place without ever having a hearing. The biggest concern I get from people is there's a sand mine going in down the road from me, and I didn't know anything about it. And I don't have any say in it, and shouldn't I have some say in it? And this has to do with the approach that the local people have taken. There are some places that are completely unzoned, and sand mines have converted from cranberry operations, and there's never been a local hearing. This is something that people tell me is wrong.
A reminder, we're talking with the candidates for the 31st State Senate District, Kathleen Vinehout, a Democratic incumbent state senator from Alma. Mel Pittman is the Republican challenger. We go to Colfax. Willem, you're on the air.
Hi. I had a comment about the other gentleman's, I think he's running for the Republican Party.
Yes.
His comment about voter ID, that this is more than just, like Ms. Vinehout said, it's more than just showing your picture. There's already things in place, laws in place in Wisconsin about, you know, proving who you are with either, you know, proof of residency and things like that. And there's this idea that it's not just about photo ID, it's about restricting hours for early voting. It's about all sorts of other things that have nothing to do with protecting the sanctity of the vote or all the other buzzwords that are around about this issue. But I also heard him speak of reclamation, and reclamation is something in regards to sand mining that reclamation, people shouldn't be confused with reclamation and restoration. These lands can never be restored, and there's never been a reclaimed mine in anywhere that has been reclaimed to agriculture. It won't be able to be farmed for probably generations, because soil structure and all those things, not simply like filling in a hole with what they call the overburden and then having it restored to anything useful. And I think the worst part of this sand mining is that I believe it does real economic harm to the areas where it is done, because it's a mono system. No one wants to move to a strip mining area. No young entrepreneurs, no young people, no families want to move into these areas. They become sort of a strip mining desert. Like, who wants personal tourism in West Virginia?
We hear you loud and clear, Willem. We got the statements. Did you have a specific question, or you just wanted to air it out?
Yeah, well, no, my specific question would be, why restrict the hours of voting if it has something to do with making sure that the right people are voting, which is a problem that doesn't even exist. I think there was someone that voted 13 times for Scott Walker in Milwaukee, and that was the case that was cited in the federal hearing about it. So
okay.
It's not a problem. We should be. The whole point is, he said, it's a privilege. It's a right. This is a democracy. Getting the people to participate should be what we're aiming for. Not see if we can restrict voting. That's not the right direction.
Thanks so much for the call, Willem. We appreciate it. The number to call is 800-228-5615. Mel Pittman, any thoughts on this? The legislature restricting early voting.
Well, I think what's more important is the fact that we have informed voters, people that understand who the candidates are and where they stand on their positions and can make good choices in that matter. If you're going into a polling place and you're going eeny, meeny, miny, mo and deciding who you're going to vote for, is that in the best interest of the people, of yourself and the people that you live around? So I think it's more important that we have informed voting going on rather than scrutinizing all the other ones. And If you want to use Governor Walker, for example, the one he used and said that he was voted for by multiple times, I'm sure you could pick out any different situation in a more larger metropolitan area where people have the option or the ability to do that. And I think that's one area where maybe technology can help us out. When someone votes, have a statewide system where okay, that person's already been identified as being a voter somewhere. They don't have the option of going to vote somewhere else in another election somewhere else.
All right. Senator Vinehill, do you have any thoughts on this?
The voter fraud in Wisconsin is very, very, very low. There was a study that was done by the Brennan Institute that we talked about the day this bill passed. And the study showed that the people who were responsible for voter fraud, and they were very, very few, were felons, convicted felons. And in Wisconsin, the convicted felon who is still on probation or parole cannot vote. But when they're off papers, then they can vote. The felons that did vote didn't realize that they were off papers, that they had to be off papers before they could vote. But that's a person who the driver's license requirement wouldn't have stopped. They weren't trying to impersonate someone else. They were coming in and saying, hey, I'm John Smith and I want to vote. But the problem was that they were still on probation. Voter impersonation, to my knowledge, has never, ever happened. That is the crime that a photo ID stops. And as far as Willem and the difficulty in restricting voting hours, I absolutely agree. I often vote on my clerk's kitchen table on the weekend before the election when I find out that I have to be in Madison on Tuesday. I can't do that anymore. A whole lot of rural people do that. Now the voting hours are very restrictive for somebody that has to commute, for somebody that has three jobs, for somebody that maybe works a long ways away from their home in rural Wisconsin. They're going to have a difficult time getting to that clerk's kitchen table between the hours of 8 and 5 or It's done to make it harder for people, and when fewer people vote, Republicans win.
You're listening to a candidate forum for Wisconsin's 31st State Senate District on Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. The forum was recorded earlier this week in our Wisconsin Public Radio studios in Eau Claire. The moderator is WPR's Rich Kramer. The incumbent is Democratic State Senator Kathleen Vinehout of Alma, who has represented the district since 2007. She's seeking a third four-year term. Before deciding to run for re-election, she toyed with the idea of running for governor against Scott Walker. Vinehout's Republican challenger is Mel Pittman of Plum City, a former member of the Pierce County Board of Supervisors for a number of years. The person who wins the November 4th election will represent western Wisconsin's farmers in a largely rural district area between La Crosse and Eau Claire. The 31st Senate District includes Buffalo and Pepin counties, most of Pierce and Trempealeau counties, and parts of Eau Claire, Dunn, and Jackson counties. This forum continues in just a moment. Among the issues the candidates will discuss are campaign financing, a woman's right to government-supported reproductive health care, and same-sex marriage. To hear audio archives of today's show, visit our website, wpr.org/newsmakers. You'll also find links to the candidates' websites, as well as archives of other recent editions of Newsmakers. And if you'd like to share your comments or make a suggestion for a future show, you'll also find links to our producers and staff. That and more at wpr.org/newsmakers. For updates on future shows, links to our archives, and more, like us on Facebook at WPR Newsmakers.